Gentlemen, could I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your host, Frank Cusimano.
Here's the pitch. Right there, that is! Into left field! Hit number 3,000! A run is scored! Mucci around first! On his way to second with a double!
The best interviews and the most informed insight.
And that's McGaffey breaking free, has a seam and a crease. The kicker can't trip him up. Headed for the end zone. Will it be back-to-back weeks? Yes!
All tied together with the experience of 22 years of local broadcasting excellence in St. Louis.
Now Stasny gets away from a check to Fabry. Wide open. Brower. Rebound. He scores. Try Brower. The former Blackhawk has given the Blues a 3-2 lead.
Now, here's Frank Cusimano live from the McBride & Son Home Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Good morning and welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com. Broadcasting live from the McBride & Son Home Studios. Frank Cusimano with you until 12 o'clock. We think we have a good program lined up for you today. Demetrius Johnson, the former NFL player, the former Mizzou star, and a guy who cares about taking care of our kids in our town, is going to join us at 10:30. We'll talk hockey, a lot to discuss with Andy Strickland at 11 o'clock. And then at 11:30, Dave Matter is going to join us on all Mizzou items. The basketball team, a week of practice, the football team getting ready for Florida. Barry Odom, a very busy week. He was in St. Louis looking at some of the top talent in town. You can contact me via Twitter at Frank_Cusimano. Our show content is brought to you by the Bomarito Automotive Group. And I do want to thank the great people from Rankin Jordan. They had the drive this weekend where you drove some great Lincolns, courtesy of Dave Sinclair, and you raised money for that great hospital who is doubling the amount of beds they've had in the past. Our opening monologue is brought to you by Gateway Motorsports Park. And let's begin with lap one. Do you really think we should be talking about ground balls, touchdowns, and hockey injuries? I mean, let's face it. There's nothing else that really matters as we wake up this morning. You had a 90-minute debate last night that generated 17 million tweets. 17 million tweets about two people on a podium chatting away. There's a sports analogy in what we saw last night in our hometown, too. We had a guy who I'd say was about three touchdowns down after the release of the 11-year-old tape with Billy Bush. It was practically over as the fourth quarter was about to begin. McCain, Kasich, Portman, Fiorina, Schwarzenegger, dozens of prominent Republicans saying they're officially done with Donald Trump. So with that sorted tape out there, and with the kind of mutiny of the Republican Party, he really was down by three touchdowns at maybe the start of the fourth quarter. And you know what desperate teams do? They do something different. They take chances, and they throw the ball on every down. Not sound fundamentally, but something you have to try, or it's over. So he flies in Kathleen Willey, Paula Jones, Juanita Broderick, three of the women of Bill Clinton's past, and also Kathy Shelton, the 12-year-old victim of the rapist that Hillary Clinton got off in 1974. Can you imagine how Bill Clinton felt when he walked into that auditorium at Wash U and he saw those four? Can you imagine how she felt? Trump figured since his past was the talk of the last 48 hours, Bill Clinton's past should be the talk of the next 90 minutes. Let's take a listen.
That was locker room talk. I'm not proud of it. I am a person who has great respect for people, for my family, for the people of this country, and certainly I'm not proud of it. But that was something that happened. If you look at Bill Clinton, far worse, minor words, and his was action. His was what he's done to women. There's never been anybody in the history of politics in this nation that's been so abusive to women. So you can say any way you want to say it, But Bill Clinton was abusive to women. Hillary Clinton attacked those same women and attacked them viciously. Four of them are here tonight. One of the women, who is a wonderful woman, at 12 years old, was raped at 12. Her client, she represented, got him off, and she's seen laughing on two separate occasions, laughing at the girl who was raped. Kathy Shelton, that young woman, is here with us tonight. So don't tell me about words. I apologize for those words. But it is things that people say. But what President Clinton did, he was impeached. He lost his license to practice law. He had to pay an $850,000 fine to one of the women, Paula Jones, who's also here tonight. And I will tell you that when Hillary brings up a point like that, and she talks about words that I said 11 years ago, I think it's disgraceful, and I think she should be ashamed of herself, if you want to know the truth.
And let's face it, you're at home, you're watching this, and your mouth is wide open, and you're saying to yourself, I can't believe he just said that. Lap two. Gateway Motorsports Park opening monologue. Then, if it's actually possible, it got nastier. The emails that actually did become a major topic of this debate, unlike in the first one, and then maybe the soundbite of Sunday, Trump talking about what he would do if he became president with the Justice Department and Hillary Clinton's emails. Take a listen.
It's just awfully good that someone with the temperament of Donald Trump is not in charge of the law in our country.
Yeah, because you'd be in jail.
Secretary Clinton.
So much for the crowd supposed to be neutral. And she got a bunch of cheers, too. I don't want to be unfair at her at all. Holy cow, he put her in jail. Somebody on Twitter compared it to a Maury episode. The difference is these subjects were not two people living in Chattanooga who went through a rough divorce, who had nobody ever heard of. They are, I think as we speak, two most famous names in the United States of America, spewing hatred at each other, throwing haymakers, and hoping to make points with America. Lap three. So the question is, does any of it make a difference? I think last night it did. I mean, Trump, let's face it, even if you're a Trump supporter, he was just about done heading in. Now, I'm not saying it's a tie game now, because she's leading. There is no doubt she's leading. If the election were held today, she wins. So if you Trump supporters think he tied it up last night, I think you're wrong. What he did was something that many in the Republican Party has dared to do for the last quarter of a century. And many in the Republican Party wanted to see happen. And this is with 60 million or so watching. Brian, if you can, get a number on how many watched last night. But he told the Clinton story with women. Bill's passed. Hillary's handling of it. You know, with the world watching. So he survived to play another day. The game is still on. And who knows what could happen in the third debate. I don't want to sound like he knocked her out. He scored with the Abraham Lincoln shots on her honesty when she brought up Abraham Lincoln. That was a bad idea. But she scored once again with her demeanor and remaining cool and calm, which is what she's done a very good job of in both debates. You know, it's really a shame that this election is not about what candidate will protect us the best or what candidate will help the economy the best. But no, it's about emails, Miss Universe, comments made years ago, actions years ago. But I tell you what, it's interesting. How can you not watch? How can you not watch this stuff? I'm not a huge fan of either candidate, but I can't get enough of this stuff. I didn't watch 1 second of the Sunday night game. And I bet the TV ratings reflected, even though you had two marquee stars on hand. I mean, Odell Beckham and Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay, New York, big market, tradition markets. I bet it was the lowest rated Sunday night game ever. Your thoughts on what happened last night at Washington U. All right, lap four. The day in the National Football League. Now, I did watch during the day. And I absolutely know that the Dallas Cowboys have an incredible offensive line. But let me say this. The best running back on the planet Earth as we speak is the pride of John Burroughs. Ezekiel Elliott has the stats to back it up. Three consecutive games of 130 yards or more. Only three rookies have ever done that. And he was at it again yesterday.
And now, excellent starting point off the missed field goal from the 40. Their first drive of the second half. Begins with Elliott breaking it into the secondary. And it's a foot race. And he will not be touched. A 60-yard sprint.
What a player, 134 yards and two touchdowns on just 15 carries. And he also, by the way, led the Stallions Fantasy Football League team to victory in the Channel 5 League, a league where I was questioned on draft day for going running back, back-to-back. Thank goodness Ezekiel Elliott is a Stallion. And you know who has the best offense in football? The Atlanta Falcons. I mean, they move the ball all day long against what many people think is the best defense in football, the Broncos. You talk about weapons. Matt Ryan is playing the best football of his career, maybe the MVP of the league. Devontae Freeman is a star at running back. They have a superstar at one wide receiver spot in Julio Jones. And then Tevin Coleman blows up yesterday with four catches and 132 yards. Watch out for the Atlanta Falcons. Hey, I love this score. Bills 30, Los Angeles Rams 19. And, of course, with a Rex Ryan team, they do it with defense.
Keenum has it eight in a row. Heavenstein the block at the right tackle. Oh, it's picked off on the play by Roby Coleman. And there he goes, a block into the house. He played in this stadium at USC. In fact, he set a record for interception touchdowns for the Trojans.
You know, I heard Colin Cowherd say the other day that Rex Ryan is going to be fired and he will be an analyst next year on network television. He's won three in a row now. Case Keenum, two picks, no touchdowns. Hey, let Dallas and Philly have no problems playing their rookie quarterback and them thriving. But not Jeff Fisher and the Rams, his number one pick, still not playing. Let me say this, too. I'll be honest with you. I was concerned yesterday. How do you feel? I mean, I know I'm being petty, but I didn't want the Rams to be 4-1, and they're not. And I guess I shouldn't be that concerned in the end. I mean, let's face it. I mean, do we really think that this is going to be an 11-5 team and win a division? The owner is Stan Kroenke. The president is Kevin Demoff. And the coach is Jeff Fisher. Imagine the number of games that they've been a part of. And imagine the combined winning percentage of all three. Kroenke, Demoff, Fisher. Can you imagine what their winning percentage is in the National Football League? Or the number of winning seasons they've had and the opportunities they've had. So I'm not worried. In the end, I just have to remember Kroenke, Demoff, Fisher. Kroenke, Demoff, Fisher. Kroenke, Demoff, Fisher. Kroenke, Demoff, Fisher. Okay, I feel better. They are going to go 7-9, despite what the coach once said during Hard Knocks.
Little things are important. You follow me? I'm not going 7-9 or 8-8 or 9-7. Okay, or 10-6 for that matter. This team's too talented. I'm not going to settle for that. Okay, I know what I'm doing. We had some 7-9 bullshit this morning.
All right, let's go to lap five. Gateway Motorsports Park opening monologue. The Blues. What an eventful weekend. The trade for Nail Yakupov. It's just a small gamble, I think. I mean, they give up a conditional draft pick and maybe a guy who won't play in the league for the former number one pick in the draft. Now, he hasn't played like that, and I don't think he's ever going to play like the first pick in the draft. But he can likely be a top 10 forward on a team that didn't sign Savoca and lost Schwartz to injury. Yakupov did score 17 goals in his first year, and despite slumping last season, he had over 40 in the previous three. Maybe on a good team, new atmosphere, he'll make some strides. Maybe they play him with Tarasenko, too. I like the small gamble. But the bigger story could be the injury Friday night. Carl Gunnarsson's elbow on goaltender Jake Allen's ankle. Last year, if this happens, no big deal. Brian Elliott, you're playing every night, and the Blues are just fine. This year, it's a youngster named Carter Hutton and another named Jordan Binnington. You likely won't get to 100 points if Hutton plays 30 games. And this injury doesn't appear to be serious, but we'll see. Do you like the trade? And how pumped up are you for the start of this season? In Chicago Wednesday, the home opener on Thursday. I think with no baseball, no NFL, my interest in the Blues is like a 10. And it's never been a 10 in October. It's a 10 later in the season, but now it's huge. All right, lap six. Gateway Motorsports Park opening monologue. The sporting event of the week, and I don't think this has ever been said, the Safeway Open on the PGA Tour in California. Not exactly the Masters. I mean, they normally have about 40 members of the media covering this event. It's not that big. This week, there's going to be over 100 media members on hand. You know why? Tiger Woods, after 14 months, returns to the sport of golf. Now, I know Tiger has made some comebacks in the past and failed and been extremely uneventful. But I got to tell you, folks, this one seems a little different. First of all, it's 14 months of not going at it hard and resting all the ailing parts of his body, whether it's the knee, the back, the shoulder. And then I'm reading some comments this morning from Jesper Parnevik. He's been the guy playing with Tiger quite often. And he said the trajectory and the ball flight are exactly like it was 15 years ago for Tiger. Folks, wouldn't it be great to have Tiger Woods relevant again? Oh, would that be a great story? Another story. Saturday night, I was the MC of Slew's Soiree and Sneakers Night. This is the first time they've ever done this. They had it the Shavitz Arena, where they brought in some, maybe 200, 300 Billiken loyalists, and everybody wore a coat and tie, and women wore cocktail dresses, and they wore tennis shoes. And the players were all in beautiful blue tuxes, and the women's basketball team at SLU, coming off their best season ever, they were all in beautiful gowns. And you heard from a fired-up Lisa Stone. You heard from a fired-up Travis Ford. And then the featured speaker was Seth Greenberg from ESPN, a former terrific college coach. So it was a great idea by Chris May. It drummed up a lot of excitement. And they also raised some money. They had a silent auction. But let me just say this. And I know that the SLU coaches are not allowed to really talk about recruiting. But I'm telling you, I may be reading this thing wrong, but I think we got the Jordan Goodwin thing right. There are some terrific players in this area. I mean guys that will be drafted that SLU could be getting in the very near future. And you know what Travis Ford does? He goes to these schools, and he sits down with these players, and he wants to know about how the kid's social life is doing. Do you have a girlfriend? Are you treating her well? And then let me hear about your classes. I don't want to hear what your grades are. I want to hear what you're learning in that class. I mean, I think Travis has a tremendous way of connecting with kids. Although he's a guy in his 40s, he was once a great player, as good as any 5'9 white guy I ever saw in college basketball, I got to tell you that. But the reason that he is connecting with these kids is he's just trying to have personal relationships with all of them. And I would not be surprised in the very near future if Travis Ford lands another huge name from St. Louis. And finally, have you heard about this story out of Vermont? They're getting rid of Columbus Day. They want to honor Native Americans instead of Italians because that's the PC thing to do because Native Americans have gotten kind of a raw deal in this country. And I have no problem with honoring Native Americans. But this governor named Peter Shumlin is leading the charges. He says, we don't need to honor the Italians. We need to honor the Indians. Come on now. Do you really want to slight we fine Italians? Can I remind you of the greatest football coach of all time, Vince Lombardi? The greatest boxer of all time, Rocky Marciano or Rocky Balboa? The greatest quarterback of all time, Joe Montana? The greatest actors of all time, Robert De Niro and Al Pacino? Come on. I mean, did you ever hear the story about the Greek gentleman and the Italian arguing about their heritages? The Greek guy says, you know, we created democracy. And the Italian guy says, well, we perfected it with republics and legislatures. The Greek guy says, we created architecture. And the Italian guy says, we perfected it using aqueducts and structures that stood for centuries. And finally, the Greek guy says, we invented sex. And the Italian guy says, yes, that may be true, but we introduced it to women. All right, those are my thoughts. Let's take a short time out. Thoughts on the debate? 1 to 10, interest level, who won? The NFL, will the Rams be winners? Interest level in the Blues, will this be a special season? Great guest list today for you. We're going to talk some hockey with Strick, some Mizzou stuff with Dave Matter, and life in general with our friend Demetrius Johnson. We'll take a short time out. This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box.